About every 10 years, there's a song about how bad, complicated, or sad things are now, and that longs for the past. You know them. 1976, Anne Murray's A Little Good News Today. 1986, The Judds, Grandpa, Tell Me About the Good Old Days. 2004, Tim McGraw's Back When. 2007, Bucky Covington's A Different World. We think in times past there was hope, but not now. We think this despite Ecclesiastes 7:10's clear statement. Do not say, why were the old days better than these? For it is not wise to ask such questions. Credo Christianity doesn't. It's hopeful today. Well, just a second. Credo Christianity is hopeless about men and what they do. Our hope is not in medicine, military, government, politics, tech, or space. I say that, but of course, I don't mean it. My hope was in the re-election of Donald Trump. I've done that before. I staked my hope in a pro-life senatorial candidate, Woody Jenkins, in 1996. He lost an election he was favored to win amidst accusations of massive voter fraud. Then, after I left Louisiana, David Vitter, an even more outspoken pro-life candidate, won the Senate seat. 2 years later, though, he was caught in the Washington, D.C. prostitution scandal. To paraphrase Pete Seeger, when will I ever learn? When will I learn that when I say, without any merit or worthiness in me, I don't mean just me, but everyone? I'm not the only lost and condemned person, but every single person is sold to sin, to death, and to the power of the devil. Romans 3 could not be plainer. There is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. How vile all must be for God to say, their throats are open graves. The poison of snakes is on their lips. Their feet are swift to shed blood. There is no fear of God before their eyes. No wonder Paul concludes Romans 3, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I persist in hoping in men, even though it's not only me, but everyone who can't by their own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ as Lord or even take a step in his direction. The technology that we are so enamored with that delivers us instant gratification repeatedly also enables us to kill people more efficiently. The medicine that we hope in to relieve this or fix that has developed ever more efficient and safer ways to kill babies in the womb. And it enables women to become men and men to nurse babies. Psalm 33:17 says, a horse is a false hope for victory, nor does it deliver anyone by its great strength. Horses and chariots were the technology of that day. Listen to what Isaiah says. Woe to those who go down to Egypt for help, who rely on horses, who trust in their abundance of chariots and in their multitude of horsemen. Contrast that with Psalm 146:5. Blessed is he whose help is in the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Yet no man can even take a step in doing that. So fallen, so base, so turned in on self are we. In Psalms 42:3, the psalmist comes to the same point three times. Why are you so depressed, O my soul? Why are you so disturbed within me? Hope thou in God. Credo Christianity is hopeless about men and what they can do, but hopes in God. We believe God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. The Lutheran pastor I listened to last Sunday quoted someone I never heard of before, Annie Dillard, and she's a self-described spiritually promiscuous author. And she says, if we really believed we were invoking the maker of heaven and earth when we went to church, we'd want crash helmets, signal flares, and ropes to lash us to the pew as we came into his presence. Now, she is wrong about where she says the power is unveiled, but right about it being here. Isaac Asimov said, there's enough energy in 10 minutes of one hurricane to match all the nuclear stockpiles of the world. Now, that's a scary amount of power, but we don't confess to believe in raw power. We don't confess to believe in a blinding light that so many think is somehow comforting. We confess to believe in a Father who does all this only out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy. I could jump right now to the second article, because while God is the Father of all humanity, his goodness and mercy are only known to those who have his Son as their brother. But let's not pass by that the first article gift is not merely creation, but and still takes care of them. And he defends me against all danger and guards and protects me from all evil. Now, you find a time, you find a place, you find a danger, you find an evil that God fails to provide for or protect from if he does it all. But critical Christianity doesn't stay at the first article. Luther said, when confessing, we start with the Most High God, but when teaching, we start with Christ's human nature. Our faith starts in the first, but it lives in the second article. The one begotten from the Father from eternity and born of the Virgin Mary in time is my Lord. Read the Large Catechism. See how Luther goes off on the point that Jesus is our Lord. He dwells on all that it means to have God on earth in our flesh and blood as our Lord, who shows himself our Redeemer, Purchaser, and Winner. Now here we come to another awe. He's redeemed, purchased, and won you from all sins. And if from sins, then from death, because sin brought death into the world. Remove sins and death is defeated. And since death is the devil's trump card, remove death and the devil folds. But credo Christians focus not just on the ends, but the means to the end. Two things are needed for this end to happen, to be delivered from the unholy three. An innocent life lived in our place. Jesus' blood remained holy and precious. He didn't pollute it with sinful deeds, evil words, or lustful thoughts. His life remained innocent, but he suffered and died as all lost and condemned persons should and will. The purpose of this? So that you might live in hope. Oh, I know it doesn't say that. But doesn't one who lives under him in his kingdom in a perpetual state of being righteous, being innocent, and being blessed before him live in hope? If God doesn't see your sins but Jesus' righteousness, if the Father doesn't see your guilt but Jesus' innocence, if the Almighty doesn't see your cursedness but Jesus' blessedness, aren't you hopeful? As the resurrected Jesus lived life free from sin's payment, free from death stalking him, and free from the devil hounding him, so you get to live. Surely anyone living and reigning to all eternity must live in hope. How does one get this hopefulness? I know, by choosing hope over despair, by listing all the reasons you can and should be hopeful. Nope, by the Spirit giving hope to us. As the person who makes themselves suffer is a masochist, not a sufferer, so the person who makes themselves believe something is a dupe, not a believer. So the person who makes himself hope is an Annie, a Pollyanna, a Guy Smiley, not a hoper. Even as believers are not born but reborn, so those who hope are. Credo Christians cast off all hope on self, on others, on institutions, and look to the God who created them and redeemed them to give them hope. By the gospel, he calls you to hope, gives you hope, and keeps you in hope. He does this in this Christian church. How? By daily and richly forgiving all my sins and the sins of all believers. Being hopeless in the face of God's creating and redeeming you is sinful. I forgive you in Jesus' name. And the Spirit assures you that God has not only forgotten it, but forgiven it, and forgotten that you were ever hopeless. Rather than seeing hope as something you have to keep burning, see the Spirit as continually giving hope to you. How? In your baptism, hope washes over you constantly. In absolution, hopelessness is sent away from you constantly. In Holy Communion, hopefulness is eaten and drank by you in the body and blood of Jesus. In these, hope is given, but where does that hope come from? The passion. There you see what true hopelessness looks like. Ask yourself, why would God the Father put his Son through this, and why would God the Son do it? Then see how you and I spit, crucify anew, and reject what Jesus does when we're hopeless. When our soul is cast down within us, when with the psalmist our souls refuse to be comforted. At times like this, it would seem that the answer is the empty tomb or an upbeat hymn like, "My hope is built on nothing less." But remember, that song sings of Jesus' blood and righteousness, and that leads us back to the passion at a dead run. Run with me to see how hopeless God the Son had become. He, though guilty of doing nothing wrong, was rejected by the church. He was rejected by the Old Testament church because although the Spirit does everything to keep us in this Christian church, we wander and stray. Jesus was put on trial before the church, shamed, beaten, tried, and convicted wrongly because we rightly could be, should be. Now then, the Father having given him over to this and the Son accepting this in your place, do you think either one of them wants you hopeless about your life in the church, wondering if your sins are really forgiven, your death really died, and your devil's really defeated? There's more. You see, Jesus betrayed by friends. That hurts. That dashes hope as few other things can. We can be betrayed by friends. And should sinners be surprised when other sinners betray them? Jesus didn't deserve to be betrayed, but was painfully and pointedly betrayed. He was betrayed to pay for our sins so God the Father would, could never betray us. So God the Son could be the friend who sticks closer than a brother. You know hopelessness. I want you to feel that weight, but multiply it. Increase the weight as if you did not have a God as your Father, Jesus as your brother, and the Spirit as your hope. Think of yourself as cast off for sins of betraying Jesus, of beating Jesus, of deserting Jesus, of killing Jesus. But then Jesus turns and looks at you like he did Peter. His look recalls you to the fact that he endured your hopelessness. So not sin, not death, not devil have a right, a claim, let alone the ability to take away your hope. So much so is hope yours that the Bible calls you prisoners of hope. Not prisoners of sin, not prisoners of death, not prisoners of the devil, but prisoners of hope. No wonder Credo Christianity is hopeful. We're not just surrounded by it, we're imprisoned by it. Amen.